Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it is not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday. On Fridays, we like to spend part of the show digging deeper on some things that came up briefly during the weekend. We have a couple of corrections to make to start out with. You may remember we announced some of the preliminary results of our crowdsourcing or group journalism project. We'll have the final results on Monday. That project called Are You Being Gouged? That's where we asked you to find out the prices for milk, lettuce, and beer at a store near you. Well, we said that the most expensive place to get a six-pack of Budweiser, based on those initial 100 postings, was a D'Agostino's in Murray Hill, and the price we gave was $10.99. But it turned out that the person who posted that price made a mistake. They got the price for a 12-pack, not a six-pack, as a representative of D'Agostino, who contacted us, was quick to point out. And the person who reported that admitted their error on our site afterwards. So we just want to correct that for the record. A six-pack of Bud at D'Agostino actually costs $6.49. We will break down the entire results of our crowdsourcing project on Monday, so stay tuned for that. Another correction, we covered the news of the beef recall by the Tops Food Company, which was the second largest beef recall in U.S. history, and we said it was a recall of packaged ground beef. In fact, it is only for frozen preformed patties, so not the simple ground beef that you have to form into the hamburger patties. It's the preformed patties that are being recalled, so thanks to a few listeners who pointed that out. And it is follow-up Friday, where we dig a little deeper on some things that came up briefly in the past week. And this week, there was big news on the presidential fundraising front. You undoubtedly saw the headlines with Obama and Clinton continuing to pull in the most money. Well, another major element in campaign finance that's not reported in the candidates' official filings is money from political action committees, or PACs. Now, these PACs are allowed to spend money on behalf of a candidate, and they let people donate larger sums. But when we mentioned the role of PACs in Obama's campaign last week, we got some strongly worded emails from Obama supporters saying his campaign does not take PAC money at all. In fact, Obama has suggested as much in some recent debates. But we looked into this to clarify. We've done the corrections, now we're doing a clarification, and the truth seems to be a little more complicated. So with us now to look at PACs in the Obama campaign and in other candidates' campaigns and to explain exactly what they do is Paul Ryan, an attorney with a nonpartisan watchdog group, the Campaign Legal Center. Also joining us is Boston Globe reporter Scott Hellman, who wrote about Obama and PAC money for that paper last month. Welcome both of you to WNYC. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Paul Ryan, by way of background, how is a presidential candidate's PAC money different from his or her direct campaign fundraising in general?
Well, it is allowable under federal campaign finance law for a candidate for federal office to, in addition to their main campaign committee, to maintain what often is referred to as a leadership PAC. And the difference between the two funds of money is that only the campaign account can be used to directly advance the campaign or aspirations of the individual or the candidate. The leadership PAC is traditionally used to pass money on to support other colleagues, whether they be candidates or office holders at the federal level or at state office candidates.
So we heard the campaign funding figures for all the candidates this week, but those didn't include the money they get from PACs?
Generally, no. I mean, all of the information is available. It's not a question of money they receive from PACs. All of this money that changes hands, contributions that are made from committees to other committees or from individuals to committees, it's all disclosed on the Federal Election Commission's website. Most of the figures that were reported on this week were the figures of fundraising by the candidates' campaign committees themselves. Every penny they received gets reported, though.
So, Scott Hellman, Obama has made a big issue out of not being beholden to special interests and Washington lobbyists, but your paper, The Boston Globe, ran an in-depth feature last month showing just how much Obama relied on PAC money. Tell us about it.
Well, there's two things that I think we need to make clear here. We're talking about two separate issues. One is this idea of leadership PACs, which prospective presidential candidates tend to set up sort of before they announce to essentially spread goodwill around the country. Lots of candidates have done this. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney did this in a very smart way. He raised a ton of money from his friends, gave it around to key Republicans around the country. That's one element. The second element is actual PAC money that the candidates take for their presidential campaigns. Now, what in Obama's case, he has made a concerted effort not to take PAC money and lobbyist money for his presidential campaign. That is true. That is something he's not doing. Other candidates are. Hillary Clinton, for example, is taking a fair amount of that money. But what we tried to sort of point out is that while that is true today in Obama's presidential campaign, you know, he's been a candidate for going back 20 years, and in the Illinois Senate, in his U.S. Senate race, and even with his leadership PAC, he did take some of this money. So it's a relatively recent phenomenon, if you will, with Barack Obama.
Paul Ryan, does this all square with your campaign finance watchdog group's definition of not taking PAC money?
Yeah, I mean, we don't expect candidates. All that we ask of candidates in a formal sense is to abide by the law. And I haven't seen any evidence of Senator Obama and his presidential campaign committee violating any law.
But I think the debate here is not whether he's violating the law. Nobody's accusing him of that. It's whether he's going well beyond the law as a matter of personal ethics, which is how he puts it out. But we're trying to figure out if the truth is a little more complicated than that.
Well, I mean, my understanding is that he has ceased accepting PAC money and lobbyist money when he launched his presidential campaign. And you know, I haven't seen any evidence to the contrary, but I think you know it's also correct, as it's just been pointed out, that in the past he has taken PAC money and lobbyist money, and you know he has he's made a decision apparently to stop doing so, and he seemingly has stopped doing so, and voters can decide, you know, whether or not they think his acceptance of this money in the past and his decision to no longer do so, what value that is, you know, what value is.
Scott Hellman, do you think that's a political decision or a political moral decision?
Is that to me, Brian?
Yeah, Scott, that's to you.
I think it's both. I do think it's important to point out that, you know, even though in the past Barack Obama has taken this money, he has long been a leader on ethics reform, and that is very much true. In the Illinois Senate, he passed a very controversial ethics reform bill that was the sort of the first major overhaul of finance legislation in Illinois in a couple of decades. You know, he served on these volunteer boards, and I was told by some old board members that he refused to even take the sort of, you know, honorarium that board members get because he felt like volunteer work should be volunteer work. So, I mean, there is a sort of consistency to his message, though clearly in the presidential campaign he has seized on this because he believes that this will really resonate with voters. You know, there have been all these scandals with Congress and Jack Abramoff, and, you know, the sort of the opinions of Congress and political leaders in Washington has been so low, and that you know, the idea that D.C. has been sort of tarnished by all this money. So Obama has tried to sort of seize on that. And I think that, you know, one reason for that is that Hillary Clinton has taken a fair amount of money from these groups, and this is one of the ways that he's going to try to differentiate.
Paul Ryan, this differentiation that the two of you have made between taking money from other people's PACs and establishing his own PAC, what is the difference between one and the other? Is there really an ethical difference?
Well, I think there is a difference. In one case, when you're talking about whether or not you receive PAC money, candidates and voters may have very strong opinions about whether PAC money should be accepted, because PAC money comes from corporations and unions or from employees and those associated with corporations and unions, and they typically represent a special interest. So to the extent that a candidate decides not to take that money, they're taking a public stance that they don't want to at least have any appearance that they're being influenced by these special interest groups. On the other hand, or by comparison, their decision to maintain their own PAC, you know, it's a completely different issue. They can maintain their own PAC, a leadership PAC, and a campaign committee, and accept only money from individuals if they choose to do so, or they can take PAC money and lobbyist money and, you know, any legal source. But in one instance, you're talking about the source of funds and the threat of corruption that's posed or believed to be posed by certain sources of campaign funding. And on the other instance, you're just talking about setting up one or more pots of money to make expenditures out of. And there's, you know, restrictions on what you can use those different pots of money for, those different political committees. But again, it appears as though those laws are being abided by here.
All right. Well, Scott Hellman, Boston Globe reporter, and Paul Ryan, attorney of the Campaign Legal Center, a campaign finance watchdog. Thanks for clearing up the question of Barack Obama and PAC money. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.